Blessed be the one holy and living God. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the holy mountain, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the second book of Kings. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, please let me inherit a double share of your spirit. He responded, you have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not. As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
A reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here.
Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with him anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Almost 20 years ago, the great singer-songwriter Tracy Chapman released a song called Change that begins with the lyrics, "If you knew that you would die today, if you saw the face of God and love, would you change? Would you change?" This feels like such a perfect question to ask after hearing today's gospel. What would it be like to be in the position that Peter and James and John are in and actually see Jesus in all his divine radiance, see the face of God and love? Would we change? Or would we want to go back down the mountain and try to act normal as if nothing had happened, and so to change as little as possible? The whole season of Epiphany is one bathed in light, and it culminates in the Transfiguration, this odd and epiphanic moment captured in today's gospel. In terms of connecting to other places in Scripture, the Transfiguration is surely meant to echo the baptism of Jesus when his identity as God's beloved Son was first revealed. We might also notice a foreshadowing of the crucifixion. Today, Jesus is on a mountain with two prophets next to him and three male disciples as witnesses. On Good Friday, Jesus will be on a hill with two criminals next to him and only women as witnesses. As I mentioned last week, this is a hinge moment in the church year, a turning from one season to another, from one mood to another. And it can stir up in us feelings about how fleeting everything is, how swiftly we move from one season to the next. Lent is only a few days away, after all. And some of us have only just boxed up the Christmas ornaments and tucked them away until next year. So before we move into that next season, I think it's worthwhile to pause and ponder the lessons of the season of light that is ending. We tend to think of light as an unambiguous symbol of goodness and safety and truth, associating it with words like illumination and enlightenment. There's more to it than that, though. Our own experience might show us that sometimes light reveals things we would rather not see. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've once or twice had to take a flashlight and peer behind a sofa or under a bed that hasn't been moved for a while. And most of the time, all you find are dust bunnies, maybe a few lost coins. But occasionally, there's something icky down there, and you wish you could just flick off the light and pretend you never saw it. Because now that you've seen it, you have to do something about it, right? When we didn't see it, it wasn't a problem. But now we do see it, and so it becomes a responsibility. I read an article recently that reminded me that just because something is invisible to us doesn't mean it is missing or absent, but the human brain is so attuned to visual cues that sometimes we just disregard the reality of things that we don't see. So as we try to become more conscious of the connections that are always there between what is seen and unseen, it might help to remember that whether something is visible or invisible, whether it seems to be in light or in shadow, depends in large part on where we're standing when we look. We experienced this dynamic so vividly in the year 2020. The twin traumas of the pandemic and the murder of George Floyd and all that represented came at many of us like an enormous flashlight, revealing the ugly truth about ongoing issues of racial and economic disparity and injustice in our country. For some people, though, there was no surprise, no revelation. If you have lived under the sway of racial inequity your whole life, finding out that populations of color fared worse during the pandemic, regardless of socioeconomic status, was hardly shocking news. If you were working as an aide in a hospital or driving trucks for Amazon, there was no surprise in seeing our healthcare system strained almost to the breaking point, or realizing that being an essential worker did not necessarily mean that there was a social safety net in place to stop you from falling through the cracks. For some Americans, what was revealed about our country in 2020 came as a shock, while for many others, it was as if the rest of the world was finally catching up to things they had known for a long time. Where you were standing, what experiences you had had up to that point, largely determined whether the fault lines in our country came to you as a revelation or not. Now, we are living in the aftermath of that collective trauma and trying to find out what it means to live both with fewer illusions and fewer certainties. Time after time, we are bumping up against situations that we call unprecedented or talk about as uncharted territory. And all of this gives me a lot more sympathy for Peter in today's gospel. His inability to figure out the right thing to say or do when he was up on that mountain with Jesus feels all too real and relatable to me. Having your close friend transfigured and shining like the sun in front of your eyes while long dead prophets appear beside him in the flesh certainly counts as an unprecedented moment and uncharted territory, even if you've been hanging around this miracle-working rabbi for a while now. I wonder how many times in the past few years you have experienced that sense that you just don't know what to say. I feel it most acutely when I'm trying to talk about the climate crisis and racial injustice, and especially when I'm trying to make the case for how inextricably linked these two realities are. Much more mundane, everyday situations can leave us also feeling speechless and afraid and inadequate. When you're with someone who has suffered unimaginable loss, or someone who is facing a very bad diagnosis, or someone who is angry with you for something you've done or left undone, those can be times when words fail us and we don't know what to say. In the end, it might be that what we say at these moments is far less important than what we do and whether or not we let them change us. Three disciples all saw the face of God and love up there on that mountain. Words failed James and John completely, who apparently said nothing. Peter, meanwhile, said precisely the wrong thing. And making fun of Peter is too easy and a little fun sometimes. But what we might do instead is put ourselves in his shoes and then ask Tracy Chapman's prophetic question, would you change? That is the question that prophets have been asking for generations, and that the very life and ministry of Jesus continue to ask again and again, would you change? Would I change? Would we change? The beloved poet and artist Jan Richardson also thinks about what it means to come down from the mountain of transfiguration. In her blessing, she calls, when glory. That when glory comes, we will open our eyes to see it. That when glory shows up, we will let ourselves be overcome, not by fear, but by the love it bears. That when glory shines, we will bring it back with us all the way, all the way, all the way down. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and the world.
Everlasting Creator, guide us to be unwavering reminders to those in political authority of the limits and transience of human power and of their absolute duty to prosper all who live in this world, this country, and this community. For the courage and compassion to seek the common good above personal profit or power, we pray. Christ, our healer and guide,
shine your light in us and through us.
Everlasting Creator, continually renew the strength of your Spirit in those who preside at the sacred feast of Christ's table, as we share with them in the work for and the blessings of the beloved community. We pray especially for our Bishop Megan, our Rector Pamela, and all the clergy, staff, and lay leaders who serve St. Martin's so faithfully. Christ, our healer and guide,
shine your light in us and through us.
Everlasting Creator, bind the wounds and heal the hearts of those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, and grant stamina to all who give them care. We now join our hearts together to pray for those in need, and especially for those on our parish prayer list.
We pray for peace in all areas of the world experiencing armed conflict, especially Gaza and Ukraine. For all those affected by natural disasters, especially the winter storms in the United States. We pray for our presiding Bishop Michael Curry, J.B., Kimo and Deb K., Lynn B. and Stefania S., Michael L., Linda and John, Kathy P., Frank S., Ava, Mary C., Garda J., Carol G., Pat H., Tony C., Catherine C., Mary H., Jim and Kathy W., Dave and Jean F., David S., Diana B., Susan and Jim W., Ryan J., and Vivian R. I invite you to add names at this time, either silently or aloud.
Christ, our healer and guide.
Shine in us and through us.
Everlasting Creator, we celebrate our memories and commend to you all who have left the exile of this mortal life for your infinite and eternal paradise.
We pray for the repose of the soul of the Reverend Virginia McNeely and for her family, friends, and colleagues who mourn.
Christ, our healer and guide.
Shine your light in us and through us.
Everlasting Creator, we pause in this moment to offer you our other heartfelt thanksgivings, intercessions, and petitions, either silently or out loud. Christ, our healer and guide.
Shine your light in us and through us.
Gracious, all-knowing God, free and restore us from the power of sin, that we may accept your call to serve you in faithfulness, gratitude, and love. We ask this through Jesus, our healer, and the Holy Spirit, our comforter, who live and reign with you as one God, now and beyond the ages of ages.
Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
God of all mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, opposing your will in our lives. We have denied your goodness in each other, in ourselves, and in the world you have created. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf. Forgive, restore, and strengthen us through our Savior Jesus Christ, that we may abide in your love and serve only your will. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you. Well, good morning. We have, this is one of those weeks where I feel like everything in the yellow sheet is really important and timely, so it's tempting to read the whole thing, but I know you guys will take a close look at it, bring it home with you, and of course, we also have all this information and more online. If you're not getting our email weekly, every once in a while, it's more than once a week, like this past week. But please do let us know. Just contact the office, and we will be happy to send you that once a week. While we're talking about talking to the office, on the second page of this announcement sheet, there's a reminder that we've sent out an email. Again, if we have your email address, you should have received a special email midweek that is about this survey that we're trying to get some very basic demographic information. It's really, I think, 3 questions or 5 questions. It's really brief, and it's so that we can give accurate numbers in our parochial report, something we're required to do every year by the Episcopal Church nationally. So Gabe has created a really easy survey. I think it's pretty clear. I filled it out myself. Ideally, it would be one for everyone in your household, if all the people who consider themselves part of St. Martin's, so that we know kind of the spread of what they're trying to find out about the Episcopal Church. Because really, they're trying to change. We're trying to, if we don't know the ages, the demographics of people, then we can't be more welcoming to those who aren't in our pews yet. So that's the purpose of all of that. Next week, we are starting Lent. Ash Wednesday services are all listed in here. Our formation opportunities are listed in here. They do have a request for RSVPs, so take a look at those. This Friday is when we need the RSVP for, if you want to come to the senior, what is it called? The New Adult Day Center, Galileo Place. So there's information about that. And singers that are needed for our April concert. There's something else that's time sensitive. Oh, the collection of food items and toiletries for CA House in the Belfry. That is Thursday's the deadline for that. So do take a look at all of those things on our yellow sheet. What are our celebrations and milestones?
Yes, Alan Dutra celebrated a birthday last week. Congratulations.
Hi, excellent. So any more birthdays or anniversaries or celebrations? Uh-oh.
Sophie Bruch, my dachshund, turned 16 tomorrow. Wow.
Aw, they almost share a birthday. Okay, that's too much. Sweet 16 for a dachshund is different than for a person. That's good for her. That's so sweet. All right, before we get to that, somebody else had a hand up. Tim. Valentine's Day birthday coming up. Yes, Pierre. Your birthday is this week? Today? Last week. Okay, that's all right. Either way, we're happy to celebrate that. All right, before we say that prayer, do our ushers have little bags back there? I feel like I'm seeing a few faces that I don't know or don't know well. I may have just missed you in the past, but if you're new here, we want to be able to give you a goodie bag, so I'm sending them off to do that. Meanwhile, we will pray together on page 6, the celebrations and milestones prayer for these wonderful birthdays that we're talking about. And we say it together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Yes, please raise your hand if you're new or newish and haven't received a goodie bag. We promise not to call you out or ask for your name or anything like that, but we'd be happy to get you a little bag from us. So just raise your hand. I see a couple of you, a few of you. That's great. Keep them up while I keep talking. It's fine. We do have communion at two stations today. We have on my side, I intinct the host. That means I dip it in the wine and you get those together. On the other side, we have the bread and the wine as separate offerings. And so you come forward and decide which one you would like and then go back to your seat around the side aisles. And we do have gluten-free options. We are happy to bring communion to you if it's hard for you to get up here. And you can also come forward and cross your arms to just say you'd like a blessing instead of communion. All are welcome to receive communion here, and we feel like it is a blessing to us when people come forward. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself to us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. Thank you. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is truly right and good and joyful to give you thanks, all holy God, source of life and fountain of mercy. You have filled us and all creation with your blessing and fed us with your constant love. You have redeemed us in Jesus Christ and knit us into one body. Through your Spirit, you replenish us and call us to fullness of life. Therefore, joining with angels and archangels and with the faithful of every generation, we lift our voices with all creation as we sing. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of the universe and giver of life. You formed us in your own image and called us to dwell in your infinite love. You gave the world into our care that we might be your faithful stewards and show forth your bountiful grace. But we failed to honor your image in one another and in ourselves. We would not see your goodness in the world around us. And so we violated your creation, abused one another, and rejected your love. Yet you never ceased to care for us and prepared the way of salvation for all people. Through Abraham and Sarah, you called us into covenant with you. You delivered us from slavery, sustained us in the wilderness, and raised up prophets to renew your promise of salvation. Then, in the fullness of time, you sent your eternal word made mortal flesh in Jesus. Born into the human family and dwelling among us, he revealed your glory. Giving himself freely to death on the cross, he triumphed over evil, opening the way of freedom and life. On the night before he died for us, our Savior, Jesus Christ, took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Remembering his death and resurrection, we now present to you from your creation this bread and this wine. By your Holy Spirit, may they be for us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grant that we who share these gifts may be filled with the Holy Spirit and live as Christ's body in the world. Bring us into the everlasting heritage of your daughters and sons, that with all your saints, past, present, and yet to come, we may praise your name forever. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen. And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Please rise. Let us pray. God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and cup of salvation. You have united us with Christ and one another, and you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. Life is short. We do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who walk this way with us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
In peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks.